What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Anything Better podcast with your hosts, Paul Verzi, Bill Burr, and the Greek Freak is back. He's back from his vacation somewhere. Who knows where he was?
Could have been. Who would think if you live in Beverly Hills, you got to take a vacation? I mean, your life is a vacation.
I mean, the guy's sitting next to a hot tub, the Greek Freak, Andrew Themlis.
He's doing Alan great. Alda's his next-door neighbor, old Hollywood money.
You guys are listening to episode number 49. We are approaching a year doing Anything Better. It's been amazing. And if you've enjoyed Anything Better, please spread the word to your friends, to your family, to whoever, to your enemies. Make them watch it if you hate it. Either way, okay, we appreciate it. Rate, review, get it where you get all your podcasts. I don't know why I'm doing this like I'm in a Broadway play. Get it where you get all your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify. And we are at number 49. Which Bill Burr just reminded me, I forgot, the New York Yankee Gator, Louisiana Lightning, Ron Guidry. Who else we got, Bill?
Tim Wakefield, who a lot of Yankee fans liked up until 2003. Who else do we got? We got some like crazy like old pitchers and stuff on this one. And of course, it all fucking goes away because my internet sucked. Charlie Ho or Charlie Howe. A couple of football players. My internet just sucks. It sucks, Paul. It just isn't. Ranker.com. Okay, here we go. Bobby Mitchell. Lee Smith. Chris Sale.
Chris Sale is 49. All right.
Yep. He was 49 for the Red Sox. Jake Arrieta. There's not a lot of 49s. Ron Guidry. They put him at number 7. Those other guys I never even heard of. Jamie Moyer. Hoyt Wilhelm. 1952 to 1972.
Hoyt Wilhelm was a Baltimore. Don't tell me. I think I remember this. He was a Baltimore Oriole who threw a knuckleball.
He played for the New York Baseball Giants, the St. Louis Cardinals, the Cleveland Indians, the Baltimore Orioles.
And he was an old knuckleball.
The Chicago White Sox.
What's that white noise?
Oh, that's my. That's my. Computer doing something.
Okay, it's getting the air or some shit. Anyways,
how do I make it stop?
You can plug it in, Bill. Sometimes that takes the pressure off the battery.
Oh, is that what I need to do?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Okay. Let the midnight special. I'm always ending up on the floor on this fucking show. You know, at some point, I'm going to buy an extension cord. This is how much I hate shopping. All right. Has the noise stopped?
No, but it's all right. It'll go down. We'll just, everybody just act like Bill is in the, oh, there it is. Gone.
No, nice. It's still there.
No.
I hear it.
Okay. So I got a good one for you. I'm in the house alone, okay, with Stacy. And, you know,
nobody's listening. They're all saying, making jokes about the thing next to me right now, thinking they're all clever that they noticed it.
So Stacy, you know, I was on the road. Thank everybody, man, who came out to the Punchline in Atlanta. I had a great time. Went to the Falcons Saints game. Great stadium, right? And I haven't seen my wife. So my wife says to me, you know, you've been home. You haven't been spending any time. So I said, all right. So I took that as a cue, you know. So the kids are at school. Stacy runs upstairs. Dude, this is hilarious. Stacy runs upstairs. She looks cute. You know, she's wearing the UGG boots I bought her, the pajama bottoms. I go, oh, you like what Paulie got you for Christmas? Oh, I'm fucking around, right? Joking. So I'm in the thing. And she goes, I go, I'm taking you to dinner tonight. Let's get a babysitter. Me and you, we'll go to dinner. And she's like, all right, this and that. And I go, you getting on a call? She goes, yeah, I got to get on a call. And she runs in the kitchen. I run in the hallway. I go, you sure? And she goes, yeah. And dude, I got fucking, and in my wife's defense, she did have a call. I throw my pants down to my ankles and my shirt up, and I'm just standing in the hallway, dick out. And I go, babe, get in here. And she goes, what? And I go, come here real quick. And she goes, Paul? I go, no, just come here. I want to talk to you. You know, and she comes in, she just walks in, and I'm standing there, and she just goes, you're an idiot. And just leave. and just left.
Yeah, I mean, that all tracks. My wife would have laughed at me. My wife would have gone, and just left.
Stacy did that and laughed and then said, idiot, and went downstairs. And I was just, you know, I did one of those, you know, real quick, you know, come up here, like in a fun, friendly, get up here, come show you something.
Took a shot, Paul.
Hey, listen, Michael Jordan, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Nothing.
I like how you thought she was talking in code. Oh, you got a call, huh? Ooh, in the kitchen, switching it up. I like it.
Sometimes, you know, married guys know, though, there's a time where it's just you and your wife in the house, and you gotta take a little shot, man. You gotta you gotta shoot a three. Hey, Bill, every once in a while, you gotta pull up from half court near the end of the buzzer. That's what happens.
I would go more with your football analogy, where you air it out.
Just go long.
You know, I bet I could sit in a chair. I could probably do that. I think there's enough room here. Fucking piece of shit.
Let the Monday night special
shine a light on me. Let the Monday night special. So this up here is a map somebody got me that you scribble out all the places that you went to.
Oh, that's awesome.
If you use it. I did it one time. I was just like, I've been in too many places. I don't want to do it. I'll do it eventually.
I was trying to think of how many states I have not been in the U.S. Here's what I got so far. I have not been to Montana, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota. And I think that might be it. North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana. I think there's four I haven't been. How about you? You been to all those?
I've been to everything.
All right.
I've been to every fucking Canada province except for like the Yukon territories, Northwest territory, everything down south. I think from Halifax all the way out to fucking British Columbia, even that island, Victoria.
I have not been to Alaska. I was with you, and you actually opening for you in that Canada run from Moncton.
But we skipped Saskatchewan and Manitoba.
Oh, okay. All I know is we had carrot cake in Moncton, and I was shitting my pants on the plane to Victoria when we were in that propeller plane, and it was the last one, and it was going like this, and Bill's fucking doing the air drums, and I'm shitting my pants going, not the last one. Not the last one. Dude, I was away for 20 days. We did 22 shows in 20 days. We skated the Oval in Nova Scotia. We skated the River in Ottawa. That thing where you pull up. I remember, dude.
Played pickup hockey on a flooded basketball court.
Yep. And then
skated on a public rink. I blocked that shot in Moncton to start it, and my whole fucking three toes were different colored purple.
And I just talked to Bruce Hills, and I go, Bruce, you realize what you did for me when you made me put a helmet on in Montreal? He goes, yeah, that would have been bad. I go, dude, I was all over the place. And he's such a nice guy. He goes, you did great. Yeah. Here's what I do. I'm such a stupid offensive player. Yeah, I got a nose for the net with no skills. Didn't one guy play pro? Dude, you, and by the way, Bill Burr, as much as I love.
Yeah, Stephon Riche was playing that day.
Yeah, dude, as much as I love and trust Bill Burr, and I do genuinely love and trust you, I knew something was fucked up that day because you were going, nah, dude, we're just going to, and it was probably your way to have me just get it. You go, no, we're just going to skate around. Next thing you know, they go, that's your locker room. And we fucking go into a locker room and men, strangers are fucking getting dressed. And I'm like, yo, Bill, dude, is this like, I can't really. Bruce Hills comes in full fucking pads. And my wife and son are in the bleachers. And I'm going, dude, this doesn't seem like.
You were the guy going the hardest. Everyone else was just skating around having a good time. You're getting a full head of steam and just crashing the net.
I remember sitting on our bench and there's some big dude on our team and they just go, yeah, dude, that guy plays like pro. And I'm like, what the fuck?
There was one guy on there that was going up and down with Montreal, was playing for him and then sent back down, playing for him and sent back down.
I think that was the one that, Stéphane Richer organized it.
That was, dude.
Montreal Canadian, number 44.
You were good, man. Like, I remember being like, you were like in a legit ice hockey game doing good. And I was just like, these guys got balls, dude. That game is dangerous as shit. At least for me, it was.
Yeah, no pads flying down the ice. Thank God you put the helmet on.
Dude, that
it's
one
a great old man sport. If everybody's out there playing like an old man, you can have fun shooting around, just fucking around, just having fun.
Yeah,
but there's always a couple people. You try to stay out. Like, I always like play defense, man, because I try to stay out of the front of the net, the scrums and all that shit. Some asshole falls on your fucking leg, blow out your ACL in a pickup game. I mean, that's got to be the – I mean, that's why I never fucked with hoop after a few – you know, after a certain age. Because every guy I knew, if you keep playing hoop, it's the Achilles. Achilles just goes right up the back of your leg. Yeah. As you're running in your fucking over 40 league out there, trying to stay in shape rather than reading up on nutrition. I should talk, but
you said something too about skating, which was true. Cause when I took my little girl, that you said like the core, your core gets like more firm and it's good for your core. And I remember thinking like, how can you get a workout when you're gliding? And I didn't realize like with the balance on the skates, what you're doing with the torso was awesome. But,
well, do you know that drillage you do in basketball, the suicides?
Yeah.
But they'd have you run to the foul line, back to the baseline, half court back. Yeah. That's what a shift in hockey is. Flying down the ice, turnover, stop, go down the other end, turnover, go back down the other end. That's why like people who don't play hockey don't understand why there's two intermissions. It's like, well, go out and go play hockey and you'll understand why. Because if you ever play pickup hockey and there's only one guy available for a substitute and you're playing like 4-on-4, dude, you are fucking wheezing out there. Like you'll be like pouring sweat like you never sweated in your life if there's not enough guys. The worst weeks is when there's too many fucking guys and everybody wants to get on and you switch off with that cunt who then stays out for 5 minutes and he only gives you like two.
Yeah.
It's the worst. In reality, it's probably 30 seconds versus 3 minutes.
It's Paint Your Life, everybody. Hey, we are back making memories in a new world. I found the best way to hold on to those memories is by turning them into that lasting forever from paint. I'm sorry, that lasts forever from paintyourlife.com. Now that we can get out and travel and take vacations, we want to celebrate some of our favorite times by turning our memories into art. I got one of these things. They're pretty cool, too. When you heard about paintyourlife.com, I thought, what a great idea for a gift for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, etc. But I figured it must be expensive. Not so. Guess what, Bill? It's not expensive. It's affordable.
I love that little shrug of the shoulder you did. You're like, I thought it must be expensive. That was a wonderful little piece of acting there, Paul.
It was an instinct.
You're a natural.
Hey, directors, take notice. Talk conversationally about how paintings are truly affordable and quality is amazing, or combine photos of people or places you love into one painting. Choose from a team of world-class artists and work with them until every detail is perfect. Send any picture of yourself, your children, your family, a special place, someone loved who isn't around anymore, a cherished pet, even an action shot of you or your children playing your favorite sport. At paintyourlife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money is refunded, guaranteed. Okay? And right now, as a limited time offer, get 20% off of your painting. That's right, 20% of your offer and free shipping. To get this special offer, text the word better, okay? BETTER to 64,000. So 64-000. That's better to 64,000. Text better, 64,000, 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate moments that matter most. Terms apply, available paintyourlife.com. Again, text better to 64,000. That reminds me of who do you play for? That scene in Miracle where Kurt Russell made him do it. And they said that was Herb Brooks did that. And they were going, dude, you can't do this. And he was said he was running them. And they said the guy's like turning the lights off and shit. And he's going, who do you play for? And the kid's like, Charles Smith, University of Minnesota. Again. And they just fucking go up and down. Who do you play for? And he's like, you know, he said his name, Boston University. Again. And they're just going. And finally at the end, they're dying. The kids are puking. One kid, and they're like, dude, you can't do this. And he just goes, who do you? And the kid just interrupted. He goes, says his name, and he goes, United States of America. And he goes, that'll be all. And he, oh, I got the chills, Bill. Oh, I got the chills, Bill. Dude, I'll tell you something right now. I'm not even a hockey guy. And that movie to me and Kurt Russell and the whole thing, dude, what Lake Placid, dude, that was for me, Al Michaels' voice. Dude, shit like that is, I live for shit like that.
Who did, oh, that is a big trivia. Who did we beat for the gold medal?
I want to say Finland.
Yeah. Most people forget. People think we beat the Russians.
Yeah, no, people, and yeah, people fucking will never not talk about 18-year-old kids beating that fucking team, which was apparently a machine. I didn't obviously don't know. I was 2 years old.
No, they were like pros. They just didn't have a pro hockey league over there, so they were allowed to compete. That was their Gretzky's, their Ovechkins.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, Bartnick was saying, you know, Ovechkin's going to break Wayne Gretzky's record for most goals all time in a career, which is insane because that just seemed like it was completely untouchable.
Yeah.
And especially now with, like, you know, people just don't score goals the way they used to. It's not the way it used to be. They're saying that they're not really covering it that much because he's Russian. That's what he was saying. The Canadians don't want to see a non-Canadian having that record. Yeah, because it was Gordie Howe before him. I don't know who it was before that, but I think a Canadian-born hockey player has owned that record for the better part of a century. I mean, you're going back.
Dude, Canadians are the human form of passive-aggressive. I swear, listen, I shouldn't talk. My buddy gave me this hat. He's from Canada. Shout out to Josh Williams, the one-man podcast. But, dude, I swear to God, they come across as, hey, good. Dude, I even said that to one of them once. I go, you guys, my Sicilian antennas were going up.
Oh, yeah. No. Big time. Big time.
Something's off here, dude. I go, you guys talk a lot of shit. And he just goes, oh, yeah, we do. He goes, yeah, we do. That whole
thing. All you have to do is look at the game that they came up with. That game is for savages.
Yeah.
And look at the people that play and, like, the animals that have come out of fucking Canada. Some of the toughest people you're ever going to meet in your life. And then, yeah, that Michael Moore. Oh, gee, they're just up there, you know, tapping trees for syrup, and you can leave your car door unlocked and hookie dookie bookie. It's like, no, that's not Canada, buddy.
No, it's not.
That's his dumbass Detroit fat ass going up there.
Bill, this is a good one for you. Because I don't think many people are better at this than you, because you have that weird memory with sports. Is there anything better? It's perfect for the show. We probably could have talked about it on our NFL preview, but is there anything better than a sports performance that just gets you? And you know, I mentioned it. Everybody's heard me say a million times that Vince Young in 05. I got to tell you something, dude. Justin Herbert against the Raiders. It is a fucking sin that kid lost that game. He went for it on fourth down 7 times, got it 6. One was a 4th-and-21 that he threw for a touchdown. The first down would have been on the 1 yard line. He threw a fucking 21 yard dart. He throws 3 4th-and-10s. He goes down like 2-point convert. Dude, I got to be honest with you. That kid, for me, it was one of those performances where I was just like,
No, he was amazing. He was amazing. But I will tell you, going for it in the third quarter on your own fucking 18-yard line on fourth down is just fucking stupid.
Yeah. How about you, though? What's the best performance? Not live. What's, like, the best thing you were either watching on TV or you were just like, dude, this is – I can't – like, what I'm watching is something else.
That Dominique versus Larry Bird game where they just were just scoring. It was like – it's like they were playing each other and the other people just out there running around next to them.
I remember highlights of that, yeah.
That John Madden one reminded me that Lawrence Taylor game was against the Lions. I forget what it was, where he picked the ball off and ran it back. Just like,
yeah,
he was so fucking dominant that game.
I remember that. And then I also remember, you know, Wayne Gretzky that year when he had like 96 goals or something. The guy would have like five. He would have like, dude, there was a year that that guy played where he scored a point in like the first like 40 something games. It was like a Joe DiMaggio streak. It was insane. He scored like 50 goals in like 35 or 36 games. I mean, he was just doing stuff that was like that you did at like a high school level and you're looking at the kid like, oh, this kid's going pro. He was doing that against the pros.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you who shut all that down was Patrick Waugh. Patrick Waugh's style of play. Dude, they were stand-up goalies, if you can believe that. They would just stand up and kick their leg out. He came down. He introduced the butterfly. The pads got bigger and all of that. Of course, the awful clutch and grab time. But like, just the goaltender when I was young was the fat kid, the most unathletic person they would pretty much put in net because you couldn't skate, but you wanted to play hockey. All right, well, skate out to the net and get in front of this fucking object that's flying at you. And Patrick Waugh was the guy, probably wasn't the first, but he was the guy, the first superstar goaltender, I feel, that made, because there were superstar goaltenders. I love, you know, Jerry Chivas with the scars on his mask and all that shit. It was cool. And, you know, definitely guys like Ron Hextall, the personalities, the Billy Smiths. But nobody really wanted to play goalie. You still wanted to, you'd rather be Mike Bossy than Billy Smith. You know, you'd rather be, you know, whatever. What the fuck's his name there for the Flyers? I guess they didn't play during the same time. You want to be the guy scoring the fucking goals or even the enforcer. No one wanted to be the goaltender. I feel like Patrick Waugh came in and then all of a sudden kids wanted to be goaltenders and just be lights out and shutting people out. And then there was just this incredible 15-year period that I would say started with him and maybe ended with a guy like Dominic Hasek or whatever. It just sort of solidified the position where now it was finally. And I remember reading in Sports Illustrated where like parents were just like, fuck, man, I mean, hockey's expensive enough, but when your kid wants to be a goalie from the time he's like four, like buying all those pads as the kid is growing. I mean, you have to put
who's
a second
kid on the Devils.
House.
Who was that nasty guy on the Devils? I saw him towards the end of his career. He had a shutout. He had no goals. It's nasty.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Martin Brodeur?
Yeah, Martin Brodeur.
Dude, well, that kid.
I have a little asterisk next to that guy because he played during the fucking clutch and grab era and stuff when guys were like, when like goal scorers were like threatening to stop playing. Dude, you go on the blue line, the guy could just grab your fucking jersey and it was fine. They just slowed all of those guys down. And, you know, and that was also when the goalie could just skate out and just stop the puck and fucking ice the thing. Everybody started playing the trap or the left wing lock. And like hockey was in a real, real, this is before they got rid of the red line. And it just, because everyone was playing the trap and the lock, it just became dump and chase. They would skate it out to like the red line. They dump it into the zone. And then they would chase it in. And the goaltender would just skate out of the crease, stop it, flick it down to the other end of the ice. And it was boring as hell. And that's the only thing. Like, I'm not going to say that he wasn't one of the greatest of all time. He absolutely was. But I would have loved to seen how he did in like the 80s or post when they got rid of the red line and they opened the game back up again.
Yeah. That's fucking cool, man. Like I didn't see all that stuff and I don't know it. Like, I don't know hockey like you like that, but when you see performances like that, like the LT thing, I feel bad to say this, rest his soul, the Wilt Chamberlain 100 points. I never hear anybody talk about, I never hear anybody say, I've always heard this. Yeah. He scored 100 points in a game, but nobody was like, oh my God, shit was fucking, he dominated. And I think
they only won by like four. It just seemed like he was hogging the ball. And it was also like in the 23 Skidoo years of the league, you know what I mean? Where it's just like, all right, let's have a 9-foot black guy go out there and play a bunch of
a bunch of white guys. I'm surprised he didn't score 200 points.
Yeah, like white guys.
They had to make dunking illegal.
The white guys.
Dude, it was like the YMCA. He was just going. I mean, I wasn't that bad because there was a lot of amazing players back then. But I'm just saying, like, I think because there's no video footage of it, and also because the NBA was so young.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when Bill Russell was in the league in the beginning and they started winning championship, they would still in the off season, the league would make them go barnstorming and they would go down to the South to try to sell people on the pro league. And he would go down there and he'd have to, there was like the colored entrance and the white person entrance. There's like a whole book on that and like how Bob Cousy feels so bad because he should have been like, well, fuck that. I'm not, if Bill can't walk in with me, you know, we're not eating here or whatever. But like when Wilt Chamberlain was scoring 100 points in a fucking game, like that's how young that sports was. And like racism, they probably didn't like the fact that this guy was coming in dunking on all these white guys that they thought was good. And he put up 100 points in a game. Having said that, the fucking guy didn't pass. If you can get a box score, dude, of that fucking game.
Dude, remember I said to you and Andrew before I said.
He probably didn't get a triple-double. He just got a triple.
Remember I said to you
100
guys,
points, one assist, no steals.
I would, what I did to my wife when I pulled my pants down, I said, come here, dude. If I had 100 points, I'd show up like that in the lobby of the hotel I was staying in, dude. I would fucking drinks on the fucking smoking sticks. And that's when you could smoke a stick in the hotel. Andrew, what year did he do that? What year did
I'm going to say 63 or 64.
Will Chamberlain score 100 points. And what team was it against? Dude, that's hilarious. His night.
Did you hear that Gary Goldman joke?
No.
Oh, it's one of my favorite jokes he ever did.
What is it? What is it?
He goes, this is my impression of the opposite team's coach at halftime the night Chamberlain scored 100 points. And he comes to the locker room. He goes, all right, who's got Wilt? The fuck are you doing out there? Whatever, just...
That's perfect. That's just a, oh God, that's so great. We've got Wilt.
March 2nd, 1962.
Was it?
62.
Yeah, over the Knicks.
Over the who?
The Knicks.
Of course. Fuck, hey, why'd I ask?
There was legit paint on your face. You went, the who?
At the Garden? Was that at the Garden?
Hershey Sports Arena in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
All right. Hey, at least it wasn't under our roof. Jesus. Oh, it's 19.
No, that's one of those things. So they had to make like dunking illegal. And there's like all of these people that say that if that was a white guy doing it, that they wouldn't have made it illegal and all of this.
When was dunking illegal? When was dunking illegal though?
Dunking was illegal. I'm not the biggest NBA historian, but it was like for 4 or 5 seasons, you couldn't dunk until everybody got a guy that could dunk. I don't know what, but what's fascinating to me is within 10 years of that, you have the ABA in the first dunking contest where the ABA was the antithesis of that, where they were this startup league and the white people that started that fucking thing were like, all right, well, we can't compete with the NBA. So why don't we just not be racist assholes and let people who aren't white play the way that they can play. So they let the whole playground artistry, whatever they said. Like when I hear the old basketball players talking about it, they said, yeah, they let us play that we'd be played on the playground. Now, how amazing is that? And how fucked up is racism that there was a time where there was this whole group of people that were playing the game at a higher fucking level than the NBA, but either weren't allowed in the league or weren't allowed to play that style of a game. But can you imagine if you're just driving down the street and you saw a bunch of people playing NFL football, playing football better than NFL players? I'm trying to like wrap my brain around that.
Dude, I got to be honest with you. If I wasn't, was that Andrew?
It was banned in the NCAA. I don't see anything that says it was banned in the
It was banned in the NCAA because of Kareem.
Kareem, yeah.
I always thought it was, see, I told you my history in basketball. It wasn't with Wilt Chamberlain, it was never banned.
No, I remember Lawhead's dad was saying too that Kareem changed the fucking rules with the dunking. But I got to be honest with you, man. If I went into battle with a guy, and this is real shit, man. This is why shout out to Betty White. But if I went into like battle with a guy and you're telling me he can't walk in a restaurant with me, I'd be like, fuck that, dude. I'd be like, fuck that, dude. That's my teammate. We just won. Like, that guy's not going
to. That's easy to say in 2021, Paul, or 2022. You're going back in the time machine. You're still being the hero.
What am I going to do?
You would have been a Sicilian guy in 1962. Wait, how old would you be back then? Well, how old are you right now? How old are you?
Wait a minute.
No. You wait a minute. How old are you?
You're going to make me say my age on that? I recently turned
40. What are you, a fucking ingenue?
No, I'm 43.
Did I use that word right? You're 43?
Yeah.
All right. So in 1962, that would have been, you were born in fucking what, 1919? So you're a Sicilian guy born in 1919. You're going to tell me you're going to be all, we are the world.
No. And I didn't say that.
After what you went through?
No, I didn't say we are the world. But, dude, you know me as a friend, how loyal I am to you, dude.
I know the 2022 version of you.
Come on, man. Me and you... Hold on a second. Hold on. Let me just paint this picture. Just hold on.
If we were both born in 1919, we wouldn't be friends. Irish section. You'd be in the fucking, you'd be like Nina, and I would be saying Dago.
Hold on. Listen, just hear me out. And then you could debunk.
We call him Paulie Bronx Tail.
If me and you are teammates and we're on the bus and we're going to play the Milwaukee Bucks, and I'm sitting next to you and I'm going, yeah, dude, they're fucking, you know, the papers are saying we're underdogs, this and that. And we're sitting there on the bus and we're strategizing. No. You're going to these guys. And we hug and we do all that. And it's amazing. And all of a sudden we get off the bus to go eat. And then you go, hey, man, they're not going to allow me in there. If you think I wouldn't be like, man, this is fucked up, then I'll go eat with you.
What if I'm scoring more points than you and I can dunk and you can't and you're jealous?
Come on,
walking,
man.
Right in the front door and you're getting a fucking eggplant parmesan.
I thought you knew, Paul. I thought you knew your friend Paulie Verzi better than that. You're the only one that calls me Paulie.
You know what you sound right now? You sound like a community college brochure.
Well, I went to community college, so that makes sense.
I know, and you read their brochure and you think you're going to Harvard.
I love on the community college brochure, the campus looks nice till you get there. They got the one shot of the fucking walkway with bushes.
Oh, yeah. And then everything else is just fucking cement.
Then you go there. There's construction trucks across the street. You're like, what the fuck is this? I'm sorry, Andrew, you were saying?
No, that's okay. An example of an Italian guy who didn't go somewhere because they wouldn't let his friend was Dean Martin to the JFK inauguration. Everybody was invited. Sammy wasn't. And he said, what the hell? And he didn't appreciate that.
Of course,
a lot of famous people there. Everybody else went. And he said, you know, he was old school. He was like, you know, more of a put your mouth, money where your mouth is type of guy. And he was just
telling me you're on Dean Martin's level.
I'm saying, no, first of all, it's about his heart, man. It's about the dude he is. Now, listen, I might have kept my mouth shut about
Paulie.
Other people.
Whoa.
I would keep my mouth
shut. Whoa. It doesn't make a difference when he's born. He's always going to be the greatest guy.
No. I would probably
keep my mouth shut. Paul used to break into cars, Paul.
No, listen, I would have keep my mouth shut maybe about other people, but not my fucking dudes that I love. Not my teammates. See, that's the difference, dude. You're talking about Dean Martin and Sammy Davis were like,
about practice. Practice is over. We're going out to get a fucking dinner. You're starving. Okay? You're walking on the heels of your Chuck Taylors because you don't want to get them dirty in 1962. And they got the Irish. They have the Irish only doorway. You're telling me.
No.
In front of all your Italian friends.
No.
And they want to give you the key to the fucking Little Italy of wherever the fuck we're at. Look at you're all blurry. You're lying so bad. Even the camera knows. It's looking away.
I, No, dude, you got me with that heels with the Chuck Taylors. For the people that don't know, I was in Minnesota with Joe Bartnick and Burr, and I had brand new Jordans on. I think they were Jordan 3s, and I'm walking on my heels because there was like slush and water, and they were just behind me laughing my ass.
Fucking curse and go, the fuck? I mean, fucking drive us up there, and he's fucking, you look like some chick in your prom dress trying to get your heels dirty.
Bill, you know how much I brag about Italian food? I would have to make you go get it. I'd be like, no, 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 dude, guys, you got to let him taste this. He's got to come with us.
No, they would. They would just have me sit on a case of wine in the back. Hey, Paul, not for nothing. We like you, but that pasty freckle guy, you know, with the fucking orange beard and pubes, they ain't coming in here, okay? He looks, his fucking pubes are like vodka sauce. Get him the fuck out of here. Have him be in the fucking back, all right?
That's fucking hilarious. And I'd be like, nah, man, we just beat the fucking, you know, we just beat the Sacramento Kings. That's
hey,
my
Paul,
boy.
I'm Italian. I knew that was going to happen before it happened, okay? You want your money that you earned? You want to keep wearing new Chuck Taylors every fucking game? Or you want your socks flopping down like that Pistol Pete guy?
How should I take that? That's the best. The guy said he Listen, liked my shoes. Should
that
I fucking
mitt fuck sits in the fucking alley. You'd be lucky if we bring him fucking spaghetti. You, on the other hand, whatever you want. However, if you two finooks want to walk in the same door, you can go in the back. Oh, Paulie!
This half of finooks. Well, send him in the back.
You would have been like, oh, can you do me a favor? If I don't finish something, can you send it down to him? Of course, Paul. Of course we will.
Can you send it down to him?
Is it okay if me and my friend smoke a stick outside? But you got to do it in the back. You got to do it behind the place. That's the way it was. That's the way it was, 1919. Yeah.
Maybe I would be that guy. Hey, dude, listen, I did what I could, but if you come around bad, we smoke together. I wouldn't be like, yeah, get in the fuck. I would be like, dude, this is bullshit.
You'd be nice about it. You'd be nice about it. Right?
I think you got me wrong, man, a little bit. I thought you knew me
a little
better.
I don't know. I think you kind of opened up the playbook there. I saw a little bit in there. You'd be nice about it.
I would do everything that I could to make that dude be able to hang with us. And if it was an absolute no, I would still try to find a fucking sneaky way to do it. You know,
Paul, I gotta be honest with you. If they said no Italians, I would just say you're shit out of luck, Paul. I'm fucking hungry. I'm going in there to get the cabbage, but I know you don't want to eat that shit. Listen, we don't know how to cook.
No, it'd be funny if Italians weren't allowed and you're like, no, that's good. We didn't want to come in.
Yeah, we didn't want to go in anyway.
What are they cooking? It doesn't smell good in here.
I like Italian food so much, I would not be insulted. I would go in the back and I would sit there with the provisions.
I'll tell you something right now, and I learned this recently, Bill, and you'll appreciate this. You want to know the way people shit on potatoes? You want to know who nobody fucks with a potato like? And I didn't realize this until recently. My Greek heritage, when they make the lemon potatoes, the potatoes are chopped up. They're so moist and amazing, and they got like herbs and seasoning and a lemon.
Oh, my God. We should try that.
No, with lemon.
You season the potato, Paul. First of all, nobody shits on the potato. You shit on the potato.
No. You just said all we work on is with potatoes.
No.
No, dude, I'm saying I've had lemon potatoes that are good. I'm saying they could make them good. You know?
Yeah, you're acting like that's a surprise.
Well, I mean, listen.
You know what it is with you, Paul? Your first love's the tomato, and that's just, it is what it is. You don't like potatoes, you don't like peas, you don't like anything Northern Europe. You just don't like it.
I can't stand
schnitzel. You like schnitzel.
I'll tell you, I love schnitzel. As a matter of fact, I had some amazing meals in Germany. I love schnitzel. I'll tell you this. I don't believe somebody that tells me that peas taste good. I actually don't believe it. I think it's just somebody saying, oh, I like peas. There's zero taste. It's horrific. A pea's horrific.
Can I ask you a question, Paul? Are peas as bad as Italian cookies?
Peas are worse.
Dry-ass goddamn cookies?
You're just
happens with you guys. You guys, like, you're fucking, everything you do is fucking amazing. There's something about your desserts.
Chris, you know,
are just fucking horrible.
Yo, Chris Italia heard you say that.
He still sends me links.
And he goes like this. He goes, just do me a favor. This is how personally he took it. He goes, do me a favor. He called me for this. I don't, you know what I mean? And I haven't seen him in a long time.
Do me a favor. There's a place in Brooklyn. No, you got to fucking take him over there. Listen, there's fucking people that can make, chitlins. They can make chitlins. You're boiling shit out of intestines. There's people that can make that shit taste good. But generally speaking, I don't want to fucking eat that stuff.
No, he goes like this. He goes, do me a favor. He goes, bring him here on a Sunday. It was almost like a fucking mafia thing. He goes, bring him here. He goes, bring him here on a Sunday. You got to let me know when he's in town. We do Sunday supper here. He goes, I'm going to fucking knock his fucking balls.
He's not. I'm going to tell you something about Chris Italia. His food recommendations, overrated.
All right.
Him and Dave Kimowitz, rest his soul. They sent me to a fucking sushi place out here. Sucked.
Well, you got to go there. It's just one old guy. He's grumpy. He doesn't even make what you want. I went there. It sucked. It fucking sucked. They were into the story of the guy.
He doesn't even give you what you want.
Guys. You sit down, you eat. You shut the fuck up. This fucking guy, right?
Yeah.
They, I'm telling you. Dude, you know who knows the spots in New York? This is going to drive them nuts.
Oh,
Pete Davidson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Pete Davidson, a.k.a. 2 for 2. He gave me a place down in Chinatown.
Yeah.
Me and my wife went to. Fucking amazing. And he gave me a place to get pizza in Brooklyn that was unfucking believable.
Dude, he sent me to
Italia is like 0 for 6.
Dude.
And I actually lie and be like, oh, yeah, man, it was great. It's like his shit. It's like good.
Oh, boy, he's not going to like this podcast. He's going to go, send him down. No, listen. Pete sent me to a sushi place that the red snapper almost made me. It was that fucking, I couldn't fucking believe it, how good it was.
No, yeah, Pete Davidson knows the spots. Chris Italia's, he's a ham and egger, man. That guy would walk up to a food truck and tell you, you know, if I wanted to get like a sausage king, I'd go to Chris Italia.
What? Do you have, is it, what's your,
Chris Italia's like that sports fan that buys all the gear, but can't really talk the game.
No, he's actually really good at sport. He was a sports journalist. He's good. He knows.
No, shit. But I mean with food.
I know the example. Listen,
I'm just trying to get this fucking guy going. So he finally starts pulling out the aces, because what I think is he's just looking at me like some German Mick going like, all right, I don't need to give him the best spots. I'll just give him some of the little, I'll save the good ones for my paisan over there.
There's a couple of spots in Queens and the Bronx he would send you to, but you don't like a fresh cannoli?
I've never had a good cannoli. And I've lied to so many Italian friends of mine. I say, oh my God, it's unbelievable. They're just dry. And the filling is whatever. It's just, cannolis are fucking dry, dude. Have a pitcher of water with you.
Listen, I used to not be a cannoli guy till I'm getting a sweet tooth later on in my life.
Getting addicted to sugar. You just got to break that habit.
No, but I know you have a good taste. I know there were times on the road we ate. We were both like, oh, my God, try it. So I'll take your word for sure. And some of the restaurants you mentioned are great. But I do think that you have not. I think the rainbow cookie is incredible.
You know, I mean, it's better than a Girl Scout cookie.
I mean,
it lives in the same family.
You ever have a sfogliatelle? Like more of like the puff pastry? That's like
I'm talking cookies.
Dude, every shell. Italian, listen to me right
they're,
now. They're every cookies, Italian listening to
their fucking better. Cannolis, all no, these. It's just not good.
Every Italian listening to Eddie Think Better right now is going to hit Andrew. Where can I send this to? Fuck this. Listen to me.
Exactly. And this is the thing. If you guys go, yeah, you Irish guys, you drink too much and your fucking cabbage stinks. I'd be like, yeah, you're right. You guys going to be, oh, wait a minute. I'm just having wine. It goes with the dinner. I'm not an alcoholic. But gug, 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 gug. Open another bottle. Let it breathe, Angie.
It's so true.
It's an accoutrement with the kidney shit over here.
The doctor said one glass a day is good for the heart. It's good for your blood.
It thins your blood.
I love how they say that. It thins your. It's like it can't. No, you know what thins your blood? A blood thinner. A medical medicine.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying, no, I absolutely, listen, you know I love Italians. You know I love your food. I'm just saying, your fucking, your shortbreads, your cookies, they're fucking dry.
I can't really, it's coming
from a place of jealousy because our cuisine is so fucking bad. So I gotta say one thing. What am I supposed to say? I'm Jim Irsay right now. I'm weighing your footballs. Yeah, you guys still won by 35 when it comes to food. Don't listen to me.
Oh, I got it. I don't know if we told the story, but Bill got mad. Bill was on the bus.
I got mad? Oh, my God. That doesn't no, you sound got, like me.
News is breaking. No, Bill. Everybody, hold your hats.
Rex Ryan put on weight.
Hold your hats. We went to – now, Bill will tell you, when you tour with me, don't really talk to me until 11 a.m. I love my friends. But I hear them up. I hear talking. I hear laughing. I hear a beer crack. They're watching.
I let Paul wake up himself. I never wake Paul up.
You were great like that, right? So Bartnick goes, dude, you just got to come to Little Italy with us, all right, with me. And he goes, these guys aren't going, but Verzi, you just got to see this. So I'm walking with him. Frank Sinatra's playing in the streets. All the markets are open. There's Italian. You just hear everything. I go in. They're cutting provolone. Like, it looked like a fucking, it looked like a GM factory making car parts. They're cutting. They're slicing provolone like this. Bartnick's just looking at me with his look. He's like, look at it. They got everything in there. Olives, right? So we get the olive stuff with the garlic. We get the cheese. I spent $97 on, I think, prosciutto. I just come back with everything, the antipastas. So I was so excited. The bread is soft. So I make Bill a plate. I make everybody a plate. me and Joe are really hyping it up. And Bill, me and Joe go in the back for some reason, come back. And Bill is just going like, yeah, I get it. Like, it's good. These fucking guys, you actually got mad.
You guys wouldn't let us enjoy it. You guys wouldn't shut up about the food. Hey, get some of the prosciutto. And take some of the Parmesan. We'll put it together. It's fucking good, right? It's like, yeah, man. It's good. It's good. And they just, Bill, you wouldn't believe. They had octopus down one whole fucking side of the wall. Me and Lawhead were just sitting there like, all right, man. Okay, cool. You guys just wouldn't shut up. The fucking food.
And we saved the olives. Bill loved the olives with the garlic.
Stuffed olives. I loved it. And the stuff was all good. But you guys hovering over me after every bite was driving out of
love.
Nuts.
No, it was out of love, and we wanted you to enjoy it. But yeah, we went a little heavy. Yeah,
I felt like I was going to get jumped, and I was just having a sandwich. I just didn't feel like my reaction could live up to your expectations.
All right,
dude, I got to tell you, I watched the fucking Raiders Chargers games on mushrooms last week, man. It was one of the best fucking experiences I ever had.
Dude, I don't know how the fuck you can do. Dude, I can't fuck with that shit, man.
I've only done it twice in my life. You know what's great about it is you do it, you don't want to like, I got to do it again. Like, I got to do another shot, like drinking or smoking weed. Like, I have no fucking desire. Like, I could not do that again for another 3 years. I just could live off of how much fucking fun I had.
Dude, if I saw Chris Collinsworth melting into his jacket, dude, I'd start crying and go to the hospital.
Oh, it was hilarious. No, it was hilarious. He's going out there right now. The Raiders' biggest problem is going to be, and I'm just sitting there going, dude, the biggest problem you got is you're disappearing into your shirt. I was having a fucking ball. Dude, I walked outside, and there was like nothing but like the Roadrunner Coyote cliffs, and they like came alive. It's like I was doing a show, and I was like, all right, man. Hey, didn't see you over there. I was talking to the bushes and shit.
But how is that?
Then all of a sudden, I saw, like, this cowboy. I hear this voice, and I'm on, like, Native American, like, you know, Navajo land, so I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm hearing the spirits here. I see a fucking cowboy walking up the side. I'm like, is that moving? Is that a fucking cowboy? What the fuck is that shit, right? And the dude is way the fuck over there. He just goes, hello. And it's like he's right next to me. And I'm like, is that fucking cowboy talking to me?
Did you freak out?
No. I was just like, this is amazing. I felt like I was watching, like, I'm like, have I tapped into a porthole for the 1800s? So let me finish. All of a sudden, I hear this woman go, okay, I love you. Be careful. And he goes, okay. And then he starts, like, walking across the cliffs near my place. So I go inside. I go, Nia, can you go outside? And just, I think I see,
is there a cowboy walking across? And she just starts laughing because she didn't do it. She goes, no, there's, there's no cowboy there. So I'm laughing. I'm going, oh, my God, that was fucking amazing. I just saw, no, I loved, and then the ground just started doing like this, like moving and like they coming out and going like that. I was just like, and at one point, all the bushes started standing up like they were looking at something. I was just talking to them. Going, what are you guys looking at, man? That's cool. Is that a hand? Oh, that's a bush. Just doing shit like that. And then I sat down to watch the game, and I had the best time. So here's the funniest shit. The next fucking day, last day of the vacation, I go down to the little breakfast area. I go down there, and the fucking cowboy guy's there, but he's dressed like now. And I'm going, wait a minute. And I watched him drive back, and he was in the bungalow next to ours. And I was like, oh, fuck, that wasn't a cowboy. That was just him talking to his wife, saying that he was going on a hike. And those voices weren't Native Americans. That was just their voices echoing. So when he said hello, he saw me staring at him. And I didn't say hello back because I didn't think he was real. So he probably thinks I'm an asshole. And Paul, I sat there for four quarters. Like you kind of like go into it, then you come out of it, then you come back in. It was fucking, I had the best time. And like Nia was all nervous because right as I took him a half hour later, my buddy called me and told me, unfortunately, Saget passed away.
Yeah, it's brutal.
I broke down crying in the fucking restaurant. It was brutal. Then I was just going, all right, this is going to be a fucking brutal trip. And it was just like, it was like, I don't know. I had as much fun as I had hanging out with Bob Saget. Put it that way, dude. Like just how much, you know, to memorialize the guy. Just a fucking, all right, let's not talk about that because that's one of the saddest ones ever.
Ugh. Yeah, man. Just.
But anyway, I had the fucking best time. I had the best time. Other than there was at one point when I was tripping, I was hoping that maybe I imagined that my buddy called me to say Saget was dead. And I asked my wife, she said, no, that really happened. I was like,
dude, you know what I think about that though? As sad as that is, and it is, he was one of the nicest people I've ever met. Hearing everybody just say that, like, how nice and great somebody is. I thought about, imagine living life the opposite. Imagine being the guy that goes and people are just like, ah, that guy wasn't nice. Like
those guys don't go, Paul. They live forever. They fucking live forever.
Jesus.
And it's the truth. They do. Yeah. I'm trying to think the last time a fucking asshole died.
Dude, Billy Joel, only the good die young, man. All right.
Well, you know what that was about, Paul?
No.
He was trying to talk this chick into banging him.
All right.
Isn't that what it was? Come on, Virginia. Show me the way, Catholic girls. Don't spread their legs. I'm a bug-eyed Jewish guy. I want to bang you, but we won't get married because our parents won't accept it. Because it's still the 1970s.
Oh, shit.
Only the good die young. She should have fucking banged him.
No, she should have fucking got out of Dodge, dude.
No way. She would have loved it. Like afterwards, he plays piano, man. Paul, did I ever tell you how much I hate songs that are in 3/4?
What do you mean?
They're always about the ocean and people start swaying at the bar. I just fucking hate it. And we'd all go down together. Sing us a song in a piano, man. It's, I swear to God, it's moron time.
It's like Drunken Sailor. Yeah, it's Drunken Sailor.
It is.
Yeah.
Like if you want a hit, write it in 3/4 with the dumbest lyrics ever and you will get dopes. It makes their brain slosh around in their head and they think they're thinking. All right, listen, dude, we got to wrap this up because I got a bunch of shit I got to go do.
Yeah, yeah. All right, guys. Well, this has been Anything Better, episode 49. Thank you so much, guys. Check out Bill Burr's Monday Morning Podcast, all of his tour dates. Check out paulverzi.com for my tour dates. I got Connecticut coming up. I have Tampa coming up. I have Pittsburgh coming up. All the dates and links for tickets are on my website. Check out my YouTube channel and the Verzi Effect Podcast. We will be back next week with episode 50. Getting close to 1 year of doing this. It's been a blast. That's pretty much it. We will see you guys next week.